Hello and welcome to another episode at long last of In the Shadow of the Evening Trees. My name is David Von Ebers.
And I'm Jennifer Von Ebers.
And it's been a little while since we recorded anything. I was just looking back, and our actual last episode of the podcast was on November 29th. So it's been a few months.
And time flies.
We did not intend to take that long of a break around the holidays, and things got a little busy with work post-holidays, but so here we are. This is episode 7, and we do have some new news, but that would be sort of redundant. As we've mentioned in the past, we've been kind of working on getting this podcast on various different platforms. And it looks like we now are essentially on all of your major platforms.
Yes.
Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Pandora, Spotify. I'm sure I'm forgetting something, but basically we can now do what everybody else does and say you can download it wherever you get podcasts.
Yes, you'll find it.
You'll find it. So we will definitely try to be more more rigorous about posting these on a regular basis. One of the reasons why we are back at it and we were sort of inspired to get back into it is because I was actually asked to appear and will be appearing on another podcast later this week. It's kind of fun. It's a Bruce Springsteen related podcast, and it is called Set Lusting with Bruce. The host of that podcast is a guy from the Dallas area by the name of Jesse Jackson. I always have to point out it's Jesse Jackson, the podcaster, not the civil rights leader and politician from Chicago.
Yes.
Although, who knows, he might be a Bruce fan as well. But in any event, I'm looking forward to it. We're recording that on this coming Thursday, and we'll certainly post on our blog in the shadow of the eveningtrees.com a link and some additional information about that once we get that podcast posted.
Once it drops,
as the kids say. You know, it's funny. So we've done various different equipment things, and we've had external microphones. We've used an app called Audacity on our iPad to record the show. I just recently got a new external microphone that we can both use, so it will be in stereo rather than in separate channels in your ears. But it's funny because now we're just using an iPhone with the external microphone and recording it directly into GarageBand. And the reason why that's funny is I just recently saw that that's basically what Tom Morello, speaking of Bruce Springsteen, since Tom Morello and Bruce are friends and have played together a few times, that's how Tom Morello has recorded his last two albums.
Which is so crazy.
He's done it during the pandemic. But not only that, not only did he use his iPhone, he actually didn't even use GarageBand on the iPhone. What he used was the Voice Memo app. He figured he has a home studio, an elaborate home studio, but as he said, he's not a recording engineer. He uses his home studio when he's got professionals to come in and do the actual recording. And so during the pandemic, he didn't want to have a bunch of people in his house. So, but he wanted to record music. He was writing music and all that. And so ultimately what he did was he got out his iPhone, and he used the voice memo app on his iPhone and, you know, and played and sang into the iPhone. And that's, he's put out two albums that way, one very recently.
I still probably wouldn't be able to figure that out.
Oh, no. And by the way, I mean, obviously I'm not talking down about Tom Morello, who's a genius as far as I'm concerned. But it is funny that someone who is that sophisticated musically found a very simple solution for recording during the pandemic. So I think it's really cool.
Yeah, kudos to you, Tom.
Yeah. And his new album. I don't know. It's not a Tom Morello podcast. But his new album features a bunch of other artists, so I would definitely check that out. Anyway, but the Briss thing is kind of cool.
I think it's going to be amazing.
I've talked before about my kind of obsession with Bruce, and it is kind of funny because you can find it if you use the Google. You can find that there are a lot of like queer spaces where people talk a lot about Bruce Springsteen's music, and people actually... He's kind of well-liked among, you know, the LGBTQ plus community generally. So I'm not really an anomaly in that regard. But it is funny because you don't necessarily think of that.
That is true.
Pardon me while I take a sip of a beverage here. This is like, it's good. David Letterman used to do that. So I don't feel too bad.
Heck yeah.
Take a big drink of water while he was recording. So I don't feel bad about that. Anyway, and we've touched on this before, but it is kind of funny how, you know, someone who's we're sitting in my office recording this. I'm looking at my copy of the, I have an autographed copy of the River album that's framed. That was the first on that tour was the first time I saw Bruce play live in 1981, and it's funny to think that somebody who is, you know, like so sort of archetypical. Straight, you know, I mean, he's like, all of his songs are about, like, you know, working on cars and relationships and all that sort of stuff. But yet, you know, he's got a real, I think what this is not an articulate way to say this at all, but I think the reason why he tends to appeal to a pretty wide variety of people, including a fair number of queer people, is that, you know, everything he writes is really from the sort of the perspective of, I would just say outsiders in one sense or another, right? Like, you know, all these songs, especially the older stuff that he wrote in the early days, kind of from this, I guess you'd say kind of teenage perspective, growing up and songs like that, you know, he's not writing about the captain of the football team and the homecoming queen. It's always the people who are, like, you know, not the popular kids, the people on the fringe. And I think that that mentality, no matter whether it's because, you know, you're a guy who doesn't, like, feel like he fits in because you're whatever the Bruce Springsteen character is in a particular song, or you're gay or you're something else, I think that there's a lot of similarity to that way of feeling. And so, I don't know, I think that's why when I couldn't really figure out who I was, having this music that was about not fitting in and all that, I don't know, it just really, it meant a lot. And it meant a lot because here was a guy who kind of, like, you know, fit this perfect mold, had this perfect life and all that, and yet he's singing and writing songs about people who certainly, you know, don't fit the image that he projects on stage. I don't know if that makes any sense.
It makes sense to me. How did you connect with the person who you're doing the podcast with?
You know, he reached out to me. I think that he reached out to me on social media. I think it's because there are a number of accounts, there's Backstreets, which is actually a publication, but they have Twitter and, what am I trying to say? Instagram and other related platforms. And there's an account called Spring Nuts, which is like a, like a Springsteen fan account. You know, and it was one of these things where I think we were both responding to the same thing, whether it was Backstreets or the Spring Nuts account. There's also, and I should have written it down, there's an account where there's a guy who teaches you how to play Bruce songs on the guitar.
All right.
And it's like the Bruce...
Easy songs?
Maybe.
Yeah.
Some of his songs actually are kind of easy to play on the guitar. But in any event, So we were both, I guess, responding to that account. And I think he probably looked on my Twitter where I mention our podcast and the name of the podcast, as we kind of mentioned in the first episode, it comes from a Bruce Springsteen song called If I Should Fall Behind. And there's a line, you know, if we lose each other in the shadow of the evening trees, I'll wait for you. Should I fall behind, wait for me, right? So that's kind of like the theme of our show.
Yes.
And in any event, I think he saw that. And what he said, which I thought was really cool, was that in this year, in the upcoming year, he's looking to sort of expand, you know, his guests and maybe try to bring some more diverse voices in. And of course, I am clearly identified as a gay person in the podcast. And I can't remember how I actually phrase it on my Twitter. I just think I mentioned that it's an LGBTQ friendly podcast. But anyway, the point is he's looking for more diverse voices.
More representation.
And I thought that was a really cool thing. And so, yeah, he asked me if I was willing to do it. And I said, yeah, sure, that'd be great. And so we exchanged emails and so forth. And we're recording this Wednesday, so that's
really exciting. The power of social media, that's my favorite thing.
Right.
Being able to connect with people that you normally wouldn't come in contact with and create a relationship and friendship and opportunities like this happen. So that's really cool.
Yeah, it is. And I think that it also it sort of parallels, my voice is cracking, it's not puberty. What happens when you're at the opposite end of the spectrum?
Is that something?
No, that's dementia. Kidding. But I think it goes back to what I was saying, you know, even earlier about the music generally, is that, you know, I mean, Bruce Springsteen's music resonates with so many people that even though you might think of him as kind of this straight, you know, he himself obviously is a straight white guy, but that doesn't mean that his fan base is comprised solely of straight white people. He appeals to a lot of different people. And, you know, he's always tried to bring in influences from different traditions, different backgrounds, and so forth. And I think that, you know, I think that also speaks to the fact that Springsteen has a pretty broad horizon himself in terms of where he draws influences from. And not just that, but the kind of music that he likes. In fact, it's funny because Jesse had commented about the Super Bowl halftime show, which, you know, was a sort of a 90s throwback hip hop thing. Obviously, Eminem. People are, well, funny you should say that because that's actually true.
It is true.
And that's a funny thing about music generally is that, and this is a little bit off topic here, but I'll say it anyway. You know, artists generally, when they make music, they're really not making music for people their age. They're typically making music for people younger than them, right? So like all of the punk rockers who came out in the late 70s are all about 10 years older than me. Joe Strummer, Joey Ramone, but they were making music directed at teenagers when I was a teenager, right? And so it's funny because you're right. We are probably the same age as Eminem and Dr. Dre.
I looked up all their ages. Yeah, they're right. Definitely between 50 and 59.
we should mention Mary J. Blige, of course, because she was sort of initially like kind of like the headliner, but then all these other folks came in. Anyway. We kind of went down a rabbit hole about ages. But what Jesse was saying is, you know, people sort of objected, some people, not a lot. I mean, obviously a lot of people loved it, but there were, you know, like some white fans who were cranky about, oh, why are they doing that? And what he was saying is it doesn't have to be your kind of music necessarily, but it obviously is hugely popular and influential, especially from that time frame. I mean, hip hop in the 90s was, you know, like huge, right?
Definitely.
And I thought about it, and it's interesting because, if again, circling back to Bruce, is like, you know, he talks about that kind of music all the time. He's a huge fan of Kendrick Lamar. I hate to bring up Kanye, But he's always talked about Kanye as a genius, which I think is probably a fair statement when it comes to the music. I'll leave out some of the, you know, other, you know, why he has to embrace people like Marilyn Manson, who's been credibly accused of sexual assault and things like this, let alone his, you know, love of Trump. I don't get it.
Yeah.
But in any event, putting all that aside, as a musician, as an artist, as a writer, he's done impressive stuff. And it's cool that Bruce would recognize that, in my opinion. But anyway, so that's, you know, that's kind of like the background of this, and how I got involved in this, and why, you know, Jesse and I sort of connected. But I thought it was an interesting exchange. I don't know if I know as much on the subject as he. I've listened to some of the episodes, and he and his guests tend to be probably a little more knowledgeable.
I kind of think you do, though.
Well, you know, I mean, it's a question of, do I remember all the stuff that I actually know, you know?
True. But I think once you start talking about it, especially, you know,
right,
you've been passionate about it for many years, so.
I also think, you know, just in a more general sense, I think it's really important, too, that you know, people are trying to make connections across different, you know, divisions. I don't like the word division because it shouldn't be a division, but, you know, people are trying to reach out and kind of come to an understanding. And we have a lot of people who are doing the opposite these days, right? I mean, there's all these ridiculous controversies about, you know, what to teach in school, and there's a full-on assault on trans people trying to play sports and things like this. So it's a great thing, you know, to have an opportunity to talk to a different audience maybe and build some bridges and all that sort of thing at a time when, just for the love of God, people have lost their minds in America, I think, in terms of, you know, you can't teach this in school and you can't teach that in school, and people are banning books. I'm looking up my copy of the 1619 Project. It's on the shelf in my office here, and that's a book. It's a history book. You know, it's an attempt to try to understand American history through the lens of slavery, and the civil rights struggles that followed, Jim Crow, and so forth. And you know, there's school districts all over the country banning a book like that, or saying that we can't teach the truth about, you know, American history and the role that things like slavery and Jim Crow played in American history. And it's, to me, I was a history major in college, it's like we're losing our minds. We don't want kids to know about the fact that, you know.
And if they're not taught that, they're not going to actually seek that out.
Right.
You know, like that kind of thing. They don't know what they're missing.
There's a bill making its way through the Florida legislature where teachers will not be permitted to talk about LGBTQ people in class. I mean, it's targeted at younger grades, I guess, like, you know, kindergarten through third grade. But it also would require school counselors and nurses to report on anything that they might find, you know, suspicious about kids. In other words, out kids to their parents and stuff like this. And so, that's in Florida. That's just gone passed by both houses of legislature, and their governor is going to sign it. So that's going to become law in Florida. And then in Texas, the attorney general, who is, I'm going to say, not the sharpest tool in the shed, just issued an opinion saying that parents who get affirming care for trans and non-binary children are committing child abuse under Texas law. And so the governor has issued an order requiring teachers, counselors, healthcare workers, people like that, to report as child abuse parents who try to help kids address being transgender or non-binary. And you have to understand, no minor in America is having gender-confirming surgery. No minor in America no child before puberty or anything like that is getting, you know, hormone treatments. There are certain medical treatments that are designed to halt puberty while a kid is trying to get, you know, understand what they're going through and make some decisions about what they would do. And it's actually really important and can help, you know, save lives.
Definitely.
But they're treating it as, you know, as child abuse, and they're going to, and so interestingly enough, like several of the major prosecuting attorneys in the biggest counties in Texas have said, we're not going to enforce that law. We are not going to charge parents with child abuse just for trying to get, you know, health care for their children. And we're not going to interfere with decisions that, you know, parents and children and doctors make.
Yeah, that's insane.
You know, so like Houston and Dallas and the major metropolitan areas have all pushed back. And so we're not going to enforce this order. But in any event, you know, so this is the world we're dealing with now. There's like this constant assault on the truth. You know, we can't teach truthful history. We have to pretend that everything is, you know, rainbows and unicorns and everything about American history is wonderful. And there's this constant assault on, you know, the queer community in general. And so, I mean, I feel like that's why it's really important at this point to reach out and to communicate with people in good faith who just want to make connections and understand who, you know, where people are coming from. I don't know if any of that made any sense. I would hate to. Thankfully, it's a podcast, so no one has to like edit a transcript of this, because that was the most rambling thing I think I've ever said in my life. And I'm known for rambling. By the way, I hope the couch noises don't get picked up on this newfangled
kind of
microphone.
You know?
It's a squeaky couch. What are those noises in the background?
It's all good.
It's all good. It's all good. And I promise that even if I know it will go well, but I promise I won't start playing Bruce Springsteen songs on our podcast, because that would violate copyright laws, and I can't do
that. We don't want to be taken down.
I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to get in any trouble. So, yeah, that's kind of where things are these days. I'm looking forward to doing this podcast. There's another gentleman who will also be on who, let me just double check here. I don't want to miss, I won't get anybody's name wrong. I think I just saw it. I'm terrible. Don't do this, kids. Don't scroll through your computer while Mitch Slater is the person who's going to be joining us on the oh, by the way, Mitch Slater is followed by Jake Clemens, one of our
nice
favorites. So Jake Clemens is Clarence Clemens' nephew. And
who we saw
in concert, one of the many, as we like to say, Springsteen adjacent acts we've seen.
Yes.
He's great. So buy Jake Clemens' music. I don't know what I'm trying to say. Anyway, so Mitch Slater will be the other guest, and he probably is much more knowledgeable than I am about Bruce. But
you never know.
That's exciting. I'm looking forward to it. And so that's kind of where we're at.
Yeah, and we will be posting more frequently, and so look ahead to future episodes soon.
Yeah, and like the kids say, you can download this wherever you get your podcasts.
On your favorite podcast platform.
Right. Good night.
Good night, everybody.